Shalom Aleichem, Chevra. This is Arye Leibowitz. I got a list of questions that were sent to me by our beloved Joko, and our answers and our discussion today and any learning that comes from this should be l'zuchus refuah shleima for Yonasan Eitan Ben Batsheva Bracha. We love Joko very much, and considering that from his hospital bed, he's been asking me to make sure I get the questions and make sure I answer the questions, we see his incredible dedication to our yeshiva and to the Talmidim and to all the guys learning in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. So we certainly wish him refuah shleima. So I wasn't sure. I was told that we're supposed to pick one question and just answer that question, but I figured maybe instead we'll rapid fire answer all the questions that were asked. So question number one, I didn't really fully chop, so I'm not going to answer that one. It was a question about waking up a roommate for Shachris when Minyan is before Sof Zman Kriya Shema. I didn't fully understand what the Shoel was asking. Everyone's, whoever asked it can feel free to reach out to me separately. Question number two, someone gives $1,000 to charity and writes it off as a deductible, also as Meiser. He gets $400 back from the government as tax credit. Does he now have to give $40 as Meiser on that $400 because it's as if he only gave $600 as if he only instead of $1,000? So the way I think this works is whenever you get a brand new check, regardless of why someone's giving it to you, whether they're giving it to you because they like your smile or whether they're giving it to you because you have enough children to earn a tax credit, that's considered to be new money, and therefore you have to give Meiser on new money that's earned. It doesn't, I don't think it cheshbens back into the $1,000. So if you made $10,000 and you gave $1,000 to tzedakah, and then you get a check from the government for $400, you got to give $40 more to tzedakah. Next, what should a person's mindset be when they're in yeshiva, and how should a person decide how long to stay in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? So obviously it's a much longer conversation, but overall the mindset needs to be to be completely shakua in Limud HaTorah, that a person's mind should be occupied yomim v'layla with Limud HaTorah. A person should train themselves to think in learning. You should have dreams about learning. When you go to sleep at night, you should wake up thinking about a Rashba and a Rambam. That's what a person's mindset should be. It's an opportunity in life, a rare opportunity in life, where you don't have other worries on your head and you're able to focus on learning. And even in a time where we're so worried about Klal Yisrael and about so many of our soldiers who are in harm's way, the Zuchus HaTorah is the Zuchus of being shakua and learning, of being completely, completely engrossed in the learning. And that ultimately is the Torah that's Magnu Matzla. As far as how long to stay in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so the general approach, I think, is that once you get to a point in yeshiva where you feel like you're the alter bachur, or you're the oldest one there, you're the one, you feel like the yeshiva was really made for guys who are less advanced or less old than you are. So at that point, it's time to move on to another yeshiva. It's time to step up, to yeshiva that caters to different bachrim, right? Rav Elchanan sent guys out of his yeshiva, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, when they were 16, 17 years old. That was it. His Baranovich was meant to service kids of that, just like you leave high school and you don't stick around high school. So when you get to that point where you feel that the yeshiva wasn't really meant or built for people at your stage, then you would leave a yeshiva. There are other factors, of course, that would lead a person to leave yeshiva. If he feels that he's going to want to get married sometime soon, and he knows that if he doesn't start working on the next stages of life, that's going to delay him. Things of that nature as well. But again, most of these are good for private conversations. Question number four. Question Maseches Kiddushin. If Yibum's purpose is to create a legacy for the woman's initial husband and have a kid with his name, what if the brother did chalitza and then they do artificial insemination with the brother's zera? Is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum? So the answer, I believe, is no, that it is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. Once you've done chalitza, there is no mitzvah of Yibum, and Yibum can only be fulfilled with an actual maisa bia, with an act of bia. Meaning we don't look at, we're not darshina and time of the crow. We don't go back and look at the reasons for the psukim and then change the halachos based on the reasons for the psukim. The halacha is that it requires a ma'aseh bia, and that's it. Question number five. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if one hasn't said Shema by the fourth hour, one cannot say the brachos. The Gra explains that the Shulchan Aruch holds that Birchas Kriya Shema is not shaykh to Shema, but to Tefillah, and therefore we follow the dinim of Tefillah. But don't we say regarding Tefillah that b'diavad you're allowed to daven until Chatzos? So if Birchas Kriya Shema has a din of Tefillah, so then you should be able to say it up until Chatzos. So it's very interesting because in Simin Nun Ches Siv Katan Chavav, in fact, the Mishnah Berurah writes that Sivkat Chavav, is that what I'm looking at? The Mishnah Berurah writes that in a chinami, that like the Shulchan Aruch says, that once 4 hours passed, you're not supposed to say the bracha. You're kare below birchaseha. You read it without the brachos. However, if you look in the Bir Halacha over there, he does quote such a shita. He says va'af shadas haprichadash kedas haRambam shalonas and kevel brachos kvar paskar rov acharon mukamat kulam kedas haRosh vaTov Shulchan Aruch ayn chuvus mishnas Yaakov shadaito nota laachriya b'diavad. Ad chatzos, kemo gabi tefila. Dekam lebsum beitashe, mavra zman tefila, afel bikein, mispala ad chatzos. That ain't a chinami. There is such a shita that holds that you could do it ad chatzos. It's quoted by the Bir Halacha. And he says that maybe if there was an onus, and that's why you missed tefila, you overslept, so that's why you missed Birchas Kriya Shema, you missed the first 4 hours of the day. That ain't a chinami. Maybe you still can say the birchas Kriya Shema. One could also argue that the difference between tefillah and birchas Kriya Shema is that tefillah is rachamidinu, that even though the birchas Kriya Shema are not part of Kriya Shema, but they're not exactly the amida either. They're not exactly the rachamim of tefillah either. Next, question number six. Rabbi Lubitz said during his Q&A, his first year of teaching, he was bullied around in the classroom. It's true. I did not do well. How is he able to get the students' attention eventually? Does he have any tips for how to teach Torah to rowdy teenagers so that they'll listen? So classroom management is actually a whole malacha. It's a whole Torah. What I would just say for now is that very often when people go into chinuch, they think they're going to be the cool young rebbe and everyone's going to love them and tell me, you know, are going to respond to them because they're Mr. Cool, and they don't realize that there's actually a chachma, and you're not cool to a 16-year-old kid when you're 25 years old. They don't know the difference between a 25-year-old and a 35-year-old and a 45-year-old, and there is a whole chachma in classroom management, and you have to figure it out. It takes some time to figure it out and to speak to other people about how to run a classroom, and even then, it's not always, there are going to be days when a person goes into chinuch where they come home thinking, ah, man, I should have been a plumber, but for the most part, it's the most gratifying job in the entire world. And I would encourage anyone whose heart burns with an Avas Yisrael and an Avas HaTorah to strongly, strongly consider going into a career in Klei Kodesh. Question number seven: do we believe that Lavan did tshuva at the end of the parsha? So I don't think there's any Maimar Chazal like that. I could be wrong, and I invite anyone to correct me about that. But I think Chazal tell us about Yishmael doing tshuva. I don't think they tell us about Lavan doing tshuva at the end of the Parsha. And then question number eight, I'm going to save for a rabbi's desk, Shir Be'ezras Hashem. Keep the questions coming, Chevra. Thank you very, very much.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.